win the raffle. It's for you to enter the raffle. You just write your name on a piece of paper, and if you stay till the end of the night, you can win a bag of random stuff. Okay. Should we wait till you?
No,
you need help.
No, you can go right ahead.
No, I don't want to rush you.
No, go ahead.
Okay.
I'm not here.
Oh, okay. Bob, you ready to come up? Okay. I'm delighted that Bob Gibbons is here to perform at the open mic. Please give him a warm welcome. Here we go.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody. When I'm at the left with the cold comfort of your smile, you stood there shyly sulking by the rust stained basin, a hint of promise in the flex of your knee, a poise in the twist of your foot's bare arch, a Gideon Bible in your hand, sped open where its pages fell, still wedged in the crease, yesterday's condom stiff and shriveled, saved like a pressed flower from the ginger crack. This other poem is called Love, etc. If we both give all, is that what makes us equivalent in love? If we give the same amount, but not all, is that what makes us equivalent in love? If I give whatever I have in proportion to your giving whatever you have, is that what makes us equivalent in love? If at any given moment I give what I feel like giving, and you give at any given moment what you feel like giving, is that what makes us equivalent in love? Or is it all these answers are right, but all these questions are wrong? Or is it there's nothing to give, since what we are talking about is not something capable of being dispensed at all, or in part, or in proportion, or at any given time, in any way, shape, or form.
Of sleep, I turn fitfully in my liminal hunkering
Everything I overhear is as true as the clink of glass in the kitchen. This time, the oracle, matter of fact as calico, intoned, cursive deer. And I made a chapel of my hands and cupped it there for safekeeping, while I fell all the way back to sleep. I instructed myself to remember, deer bound in cursive through the fields. I woke up for good 2 hours later, ate a Pop-Tart, made some tea, and scribbled the line. It sat there on the paper, no lodestar at all. But I wanted deer in my poems, especially cursive deer, that stumbled beautifully and ready-made from my subconscious. The air should shudder with visitation and their lovely necks, their hesitance as they step from the trees. They should be hidden behind my words, and if you are good, they will sense it and come out, and you'll feel you've conjured them. Nah, really? My words stumble clunk, more typewriter than inkwell flourish of deer in the leaves. They startle across highways, their hooves incongruent on the asphalt. On the internet, one bolts through Walmart's automatic doors, crashes panicked into cardboard displays of Shrek DVDs. And you think, what a bitch it must be to help it back out. And this next one is called Apologia to Four Mermaids. And it's about when she was a little girl. In fourth grade, I drew four mermaids with arms held stiff at their sides, suspects in a lineup of salty criminals. I was 10 with chubby cheeks, a flat chest, treasureless. But with a mermaid collection, the brassy madam of an elegant brothel. Sharing a secret wink with the boys in my class, judges with the beauty pageant I forced the mermaids into. Miss Arctic was pale, her ice blue tail pigeon-toed, consumptive. My ethereal intentions were lost on my classmates. They sensed my lack of confidence in her, the shaky limning of her silhouette. She came in last, but didn't notice, her eyes full of polar distance, brimming with igloos and belugas. Sun-spiced and husky, Miss Indian Ocean was the clear winner, with her cleavage, her opium-lidded eyes half-curtained by Jessica Rabbit hair. Her assertive hips, her pursed lips, promised, I could teach you something, boys. Long and gill-equipped, all-terrain, mermaids seemed hardy, versatile. Though Miss Atlantic turned asthmatic, so I had to throw her back. They gurgled for soggy comforts. Water beds, plankton snacks, fish tanks for soaking fins. Scales soon brittled to rusty armor, skin lost its briny sheen. Their arms feebly shoved bouquets and sashes aside, reached to claw the eyes of ogling boys, fevered pearls to place in their hair. When I conjure you again, O mermaids, O sisters, it will be in watercolor and how your tails will thrash. And the deadly green of your skin, your breasts without the teasing shells. I will throw the boys to you like anchovies, like debris from your favorite shipwreck. Thanks.
Thanks, Dan. Next up, we're going to have Kate Cullen, and then I'm at the end of the list. So when we get to the end of the list, then it's time to wrap up the show. So if anybody wants to sign up for the open mic, now's the time to do it soon. You can also enter the raffle. We have a jar for donations for Sid, and you want to get some CDs. And at the end of the show, we'll do the raffle, and then we'll end by speaking, and as sort of a group project, the lyrics to Illinois Enema Abandoned, and Kate will help me with that. Okay, so please welcome to the stage my darling friend, and her birthday's coming up, so be extra nice to her. Miss Kate Cullen, woo!
Yay! All right. Yeah, fairy princess. My birthday is in 6 days. That means I get to be a fairy princess. Did they get new carpet on the stage? I just gotta ask.
Yes.
Oh my god, it's just like, oh my god, it's fairy princess carpet. I love it. Oh yeah, fairy fucking princess. You know, I'm gonna start off with one of my old poems that makes me think about that. Someday, I will write beautiful poems about flowers. And I will wear a flowing white gown, yes I will, that whispers, just douched. And I will like clean my house. And I will have perfect handwriting and I'll know how to bake and all that shit. But most of all, most importantly, I will know the perfect blood alcohol level for a lady. You know, drunk enough to be giddy, so I don't intimidate anybody, but not so drunk that you puke. Because no man will love you if you puke. No. Someday, I will be a flower. Someday. But not today. I am not a flower. No. I am dirt.
Me too.
Yeah. Making mud pies and shit. My body's a wet playground for the frogs that don't become princes. Mm-mm-mm. Oh yeah, I'm fun to roll around with at 2 a.m. at an abandoned construction site in January. But God forbid my residue be under your fingernails tomorrow when you shake hands with your boss. Yeah, that's right. That's right, boys. Someday I will be the hothouse flower that you pamper and that you crave. Someday I will be a flower. Not today, though, because you know what? I am not that orchid that you take home to mama. But I am dirt, and I'm the girl you take home. Yay for me. Yeah, 8 more days till Fairy Princess Land. Oh my gosh. I heard the tonight's theme was Popsicle Jesus. You know, like, on your own Popsicle Jesus. Reach out and suck me. Reach out and drink the Kool-Aid. Reach out and suck me on your Popsicle Jesus. And I'm going to get you all kinds of frozen drunk and turn you into a vapid disciple of Ralph and shit. You know, I think about religion. I think a lot about the Blessed Virgin Mary. Because, you know, that woman, she got to deal with all of the bullshit you associate with, you know, having a kid. You know, weight gain and stretch marks and... Yeah, oh, the thing of where you get stoned to death as an adulteress. Yeah, no, seriously, God did this. Yeah, right, you fucking infidel whore. Yeah, right, and they get the rocks and they throw them at her and stuff. Yeah, I mean, she had to deal with all of that and not get laid. I would never have done that, you know. I mean, if God came to me with that, like, hey, you know, can you have my baby? I just said, sorry, Gabe, no dick. No deal. And I tell you, I mean, which makes me think of a whole other thing. You get the God. You get the angel Gabriel. Okay, God is God. He created the earth in like 7 days, and he knows everything, and he's kind of a big deal. You get Mary, no-name virgin from Nazareth. I mean, who really knows who she is? I mean, why did God need to have, like, a third party, like a wingman come to do his... What is this seventh grade? It's like, yeah, God, he sees Mary. And he's like, to Gabriel, he's like, hey, you, come here. See that no-name virgin from Nazareth? What's her name? Mary? Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of shy, though. You know, so Mary's out doing her thing, and Gabriel, the angel boy, comes up to her. He's like, you know, hey, you know, Mary, you no-name virgin from Nazareth. You know about God, right? Yeah, he created the Earth in 7 days. He totally runs the show here. Kind of a big deal in these parts. Telling ya, he's been checking you out. God kind of thinks you're hot, and like he wants you maybe have his baby. And, you know, if you're free on Saturday, you guys can go to the spring dance, too. You know, it might be all right. Yeah, I've never done that. I tell you, I'm going to close up with just one more thing. I don't know how much time I got, but I was at a wedding the other day, and it made me think about, you know, sisterhood. Because nothing shows the love women have for each other quite like the bouquet toss. The bride throws a bouquet, and we're all kicking and screaming, and like, I want the precious. So the bride I was at the wedding recently, she threw her bouquet, and I did not catch it, but I got a couple of flowers from the bouquet. You know what that means, don't ya? Going to be the first woman in the room to have an affair with a married man. They're kind of like nephews, you know, spoil them, send them home to mama. Except you don't give your nephews, like, blowjobs and shit. Along those lines, I'm going to give it up to Elizabeth.
Would you like to be my helper?
Always.
You can distribute the lyrics, please, for Illinois Enema and Bandits, and ask if anybody wants to put their name in the jar to win the raffle. And nobody else is on the open mic, so I'm going to finish this up. So I went online and I found out the story about popsicles on the Unilever website. The popsicle story. Invented by a kid, loved by all. The popsicle brand is an American classic with more than 30 creative variations of the original popsicle product. And believe it or not, it all started with an accident. In 1905, 11-year-old Frank Epperson left a mixture of powdered soda, water, and a stirring stick in a cup on his porch. It was a cold night, and Epperson awoke the next morning to find a frozen pop. He called it the Epsicle. It was a hit with his friends at school and later with his own kids. They constantly called for Popsicle. So in 1923, Epperson changed the name and applied for a patent. A couple of years later, Epperson sold the rights to the brand name Popsicle to the Joe Blow Company in New York. The rest is history. Eventually, it became owned by Unilever, who has a lot to say about their trademark on their website.
Unilever!
Woo!
Thank you!
Ah, legal department, yeah, Unilever and Mattel, woo! Legal departments, not so much. Not such a fan. Because this is what I think. I'll let you in on something. Because also this week on Facebook, people were posting an ad that the Body Shop did many years ago. And they actually said that, I read a Barbie Inc. Bandit, but of course there's no Barbie Inc. There's Mattel. It's very protective of its a brand. And I love Mattel. I love Barbie. But, you know, I don't think that their legal department should be, like, trying to control. And the doll didn't even look like Barbie. So I don't think they should be trying to control everything. Every use of the Barbie name. It's part of popular culture. Just like Popsicle. They want to say it's a brand name, but come on, it's generic. Anyhow, this is what they say. Sickle trademark family. Popsicle, Creamsicle, and Fudgesicle are registered trademarks of the Unilever group of companies and can only be used to identify the frozen confection products of Unilever. They may not be used to refer to frozen confection products of other companies or frozen confection products generally. Misuse of these trademarks may violate Unilever's very valuable rights. Popsicle, Creamsicle, and Fudgesicle are brand names that should be used with the trademark registration symbol, i.e. R, in a little circle, and a proper generic modifier, e.g. popsicle, pops, or ice pops. Creamsicle, cream pops, or bars, and fudgesicle, fudge pops, or bars. The popsicle, creamsicle, and fudgesicle trademarks should never be used as nouns. Very interesting. They're telling you what kind of part of speech it can be used as. Popsicle, creamsicle, and fudgesicle trademarks should never be used as nouns. For example, it is not correct to say, I'd like a popsicle. It is correct to say, I'd like a popsicle ice pop. The popsicle, creamsicle, and fudgesicle trademark should never be used in the plural form. For example, it is not correct to say, I love popsicles. It is correct to say, I love popsicle ice pops. The popsicle, creamsicle, and fudgesicle trademarks should not be used in the possessive form. For example, it is not correct to say, popsicles, great taste. It is correct to say, the great taste of popsicle ice pops. So now that you know the cold facts, do the cool thing and stay on the right side of the law. Use popsicle, creamsicle, and fudgesicle only to identify our products. Use these trademarks correctly and don't use them for any other purpose without our permission. We appreciate your cooperation. And then they repeat the whole thing over again. In small print. So yeah, I didn't know about that when I thought of the theme for the show. Rich, where's my microphone, Sam? Can you help me so I don't have to hold this thing? I did one of my popsicle cones. All right. Leave it like that. All right. Okay. Yes, sir. All right. Okay. I'm getting advised. Okay. You need microphone popsicles. Jesus popsicles. Jesus pop cycles, GU stop cyclos, gypsy prop stifles, gyres, op, silos, gyrate prompt style, guy trump tiles, gate strumpet aisles, goose strewn cries lies, geezer slot miles, jizz sub piles, gem drop size, gist possibility sizzle, juice pros priceless, jinx proximity cries files, gym puss up tricycles, genuine prone cackles, Ziggy Crohn's practice, jism propelled crisis. Nice. So now I'm going to do one of my most famous poems. And you know, I find it interesting how people refer to my poems. So like the one I'm about to read, people say, oh, can you do that one about giving Jesus a blowjob? Or I actually read a poem on Saturday, and someone said, "Oh, do the wipe your ass, or no, do the clean your ass poem." Like, that's how they refer to my poem. But that's cool. I've got a hard on for Jesus. I've got a hard on for Jesus. Early on in my childhood. Psychosexual development before Sean Cassidy and John Travolta, even before Davy Jones and wanting to be a live-in housekeeper's sex slave for all the monkeys, there was Jesus. He looked so cool in the pictures with his long chestnut hair and beard, and he was such a genuinely nice guy too, the first famous anarchist feminist, yet so misunderstood. And who would go for a guy helpless and pinned to a cross? S&M, here I come, hey Jesus, I'll wash your feet and suck your cock too. Jesus Christ Superstar and Godspelt are my porn. I could come watching a 20-something Victor Garber dancing around and singing in a Superman t-shirt. I would get up early to go to Sunday school, even in the coldest Chicago winters, and my daddy would take me so I could learn about Jesus and read the Bible and write poems and do projects in paper mache. I fantasized about meeting Jesus in real life on the street. I'd invite him in to have hot chocolate and John's frozen cheese pizzas. I really thought this could happen since Jesus looked a lot like the guys on Clark Street my dad would point out to me as heroin addicts. But this worried me too. What if my folks wouldn't let Jesus come over because they thought he was a long-haired, hippie, freaked-out heroin addict? I was really worried that I would come across Jesus and that he would be turned away. Especially since that I knew that we were soulmates and that I really understood Jesus and we were destined to be together forever, and just the thought of him made me feel all tingly in my special place in my underpants. This was probably the beginning of my realization that adults were hypocritical liars with reputations and property to protect. They didn't really want me fucking Jesus, even if, in a way, they said they did. Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. He loves all the little children. I love Jesus. The Bible tells me to. I want him inside me, so I'll never be alone.
For you at the party you never made it to. I know how you like them, because you're vegetarian. Chew them right up. Nothing like them Swedish fish. There's no one like you either. This one's called The Gas Station. Life is about the decisions you make and the decisions you don't. About discretion, about knowing who you are, channeling that into every situation with care, with awareness. Life is about letting go but paying attention. Life is about loving deeply and then walking away, over and over and over and over. And about carrying that everywhere you go, sharing it with discretion, with care. And one day you might make the wrong decision. Look, maybe you got in the car with a drunk guy and he's a belligerent master drifter. Maybe you come out unscathed, but the kicker is maybe you don't. Just one decision, just one turn down that wrong street, take a ride with one wrong person, and the shit's over. But maybe you come out unscathed, then you leave that car and you say, I'm gonna walk. Sure, it's 4 a.m. in an ugly part of town, but you head for the gas station. You know there's probably someone there you should talk to. You walk in. The man with the ponytail turns around. What you need, brother? Talk to me. All we can really do while we're here is follow the path laid out for us. All we can really do while we're here is walk into the gas station.
Okay. Hey, Leo, I'm so glad you read at the open mic. Thanks for coming. Isn't he cute, everybody? Wasn't that good? Yay! Okay, now we're doing it. Yeah, me too. Okay, so I'll shake. Okay, you
shake. Shake it, baby.
I'll shake. You pick.
Okay. I'm picking, but I'm not picking my nose. So
so
be happy in that.
Okay, let's see.
Winner is dum.
Oh my gosh, Kate, you won.
I love
every Elizabeth's crazy little thing. And after we do this, we're going to put on some music, and you can drink some more at the bar. Drink lots. That's a good thing to do. Check out Sid Yiddish's CDs. They're totally, this is unlike anything else you can get anywhere else. This is Sid Yiddish. She's got CDs for you to buy. And the first one to buy the new cool one gets a coffee from Trader Joe's. So that's, you know, it's worth it just for that. Okay. Let me find this. The Illinois Enema Bandit, I heard he's on the loose. I heard he's on the loose. Lord, the pitiful screams of all them college-educated women. Boy, he just be tying them up. They be all bound down. Just be pumping every one of them up with all the bag full of the Illinois Enema Bandit juice. He just be pumping every one of them up with all the bag full of the Illinois Enema Bandit juice. He just be pumping every one of them up with all the bag full of the Illinois Enema Bandit juice. He just be pumping every one of them up with all the bag full of the Illinois Enema Bandit juice. The Illinois Enema Bandit, I heard it on the news. I heard it on the news. Bloomington, Illinois, he has caused some alarm just sneaking around there from farm to farm. Got a rubberized bag and a hose on his arm, looking for some rustic co-ed rump that he just might want to pump. Looking for some rustic co-ed rump that he just might want to pump. Looking for some rustic co-ed rump that he just might want to pump. The Illinois Enema Bandit. One day he'll have to pay. One day he'll have to pay. The police will say, you're under arrest. And the judge would have him for a special guest. The DA will order a secret test and stuff his pudgy little thumbs in the side of his vest. Then they'll put out a call for the jury folks, and the judge would say, no poo-poo jokes. Then they'll drag in the bandit for all to see, saying, don't nobody have no sympathy. Hot soapy water in the first degree. And then the bandit might say, why is everybody looking at me? Well, did you cause this misery? Well, did you cause this kind of misery? Well, did you cause this misery? Now one girl shout, let the bandit be! Bandit, are you guilty? Bandit, are you guilty? Tell me now, what's your plea? Another girl shout, let the bandit go free! Are you guilty, bandit? Did you do these deeds? The bandit says, it must be just what they all need. 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 One, 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 and one. Thanks for coming to Elizabeth's Crazy Little Thing. Get CDs from Sid Yiddish. Rich has CDs for free. And come back next month. I believe it's July 13th. And the feature is going to be GPA. That stands for Greatest Poet Alive. The Poetic Unsub. And the theme is going to be The Heat of Summer and Debauchery. In parentheses. Okay, thanks very much. Woo! Grace, oh my God.